Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is start time. Are you ready for start time?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we'll share some of our favorite songs about the end of the world. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. We'll also get some apocalyptic song suggestions from our production staff and hear messages from our listeners. Let's jump in.
Yeah, Greg, you know, this is an idea that originally came to us during what seemed like, for entirely too long, the actual end of the world, with the COVID pandemic raging and the political scene being dark indeed. And it just seemed too depressing to do at that time. But the fact is that great songwriters throughout the history of popular music have been considering the end of not only popular music, but like everything. And we both had so many songs in our arsenal that like, oh man, we could talk about this forever, that we had to, I think things are a little sunnier now, despite climate change, that we can at least now revisit this with not necessarily joy, but appreciation of these songs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think a little perspective helps. I don't think it would have been, you know, great to do this right in the middle of COVID or anything like that. But, you know, when you start thinking about these things and you realize that the world has always been in some form of crisis. You know, I remember growing up, you know, my parents were talking about the Cold War. I go, what's the Cold War? And then, you know, we had the Star Wars theme of the Reagan administration in the 80s, Lincoln.
In 5 minutes, we begin bombing, yes.
Just remember the volume of books coming out about, you know, the potential threat of a nuclear war, and it seemed very real. It is always in the background, if not in the foreground, depending on what's happening.
Well, and many of these songs are urging people to action so that that doesn't happen.
Well, and it also, I think the key here is that these songs help us process what's going through our minds and the anxiety that we're feeling and going, you're not alone. There's other people out here that think, that feel the same things. And maybe through that collective consciousness, you find a way to get through it. So I wanted to start out with a song that popped right in my head, of course.
Yeah, me too. You got there first.
And I go, the end of the world is one of the great songs, I think, in all its incarnations. It was originally a hit for a country artist named Skeeter Davis in 1962. And she does a great version of it. But the one that really stuck in my mind was Sharon Van Etten's version of it in relationship to this amazing series. I know you and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
The Man in the High Castle, based on Philip K. Dick's 1962 sci-fi novel of the same name.
What if the Nazis won?
Exactly.
World War II.
You know, the Japanese are occupied the Pacific coast of America, and the Nazis basically have
the rest of
everything
country,
else except for a sliver in the middle. And you're going, well, you know, if it had happened, wow, this is what it might look like. And it really, it was really well done. And the music, of course, complemented it perfectly. Danger Mouse actually did an entire record called Resistance Radio for the series, which ran four seasons, I believe, of songs, you know, kind of related to the theme. He said, I had to begin the record with this song because, it, you know, Sharon just knocked it out of the park. As I said, there's been many versions of this song. I think her version is one of the very best. The End of the World from Sharon Van Etten.
Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye.
That is The End of the World from Sharon Van Etten, a theme song of sorts for The Man in the High Castle TV series. One thing that I should point out, that a lot of people thought this was about a romantic breakup, you know, in its original incarnation. Obviously, she puts a whole different spin on it.
Yeah.
But the lyricist for the song was a woman named Sylvia Dee, said that she wrote it in the aftermath of the death of her father.
Mm.
So it was about loss. It was about death, you know.
Yeah.
But it, you know, and now this totally new application that Sharon Van Etten gives it.
Well, and losing someone you love who was that close to you can seem like the end of the world. So can a misremembered real event that becomes a dream. And you know where I'm going. I'm going to R.E.M.'s It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. Perhaps too obvious a choice, but man, what a great song. And Greg, first, topping even the Ramones and Bob Seger, who also wrote about one of my heroes, is the Lester Bangs name drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had interviewed Michael Stipe and Peter Buck about this song when Document came out in 1987. The first album that really in R.E.M.'s career elevated them from underground gods to mainstream pop superstardom and success. It's the End of the World as We Know It was inspired by early on R.E.M. Traveling in their van from Athens, Georgia, went to New York City to see their friends Pylon perform. Mm-hmm. And there was a birthday party of some New York hipsters in the music scene. And R.E.M. Is literally sleeping, the four of them, in the van, parked on whatever street on the Lower East Side where they can get away with that. And they're starving. They got nothing to eat. They got no money. They go to this birthday party hoping to be fed and also to meet some people so that they can come back and play in New York. And instead, all there is birthday cake and jelly beans. And so a food fight ensues. When Michael Stipe, years later, is dreaming about this very real party, and I interviewed other people who were at the party when I was writing my biography of Lester Bangs, not only was Lester there, made a big impression on Buck and Stipe as, you know, the god of rock criticism. Maybe someday he'll review us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know, the food fight erupts, and everybody else at the party has the initials LB. And Stipe, you know, famously, I can't do justice to his mispronunciation of Leonard Bernstein, but it sounds like Leonid Brezhnev, who's also in the song, and Lenny Bruce and Lester Bangs, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly beans, boom! Right? If the world's going to end, that's a pretty good way to usher it out.
In a food fight, yeah.
Well, yeah, and R.E.M. is doing its take on Dylan's Subterranean Homesick Blues,
where
there's this long listicle song, you know, and it's just a brilliant, brilliant song. Here it is. It's The End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine by R.E.M.
The other night I tripped a nice continental trip to Biden Mountain, sit in a line, Leonard Bernstein, Leonid Brezhnev, Lenny Bruce and Lester Bangs, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, but neck, right?
All right, REM. Greg, I don't envy you following that one up.
Well, that's a good one. You know, listicle songs are, you know, can be really good or they can be really bad. I present to Billy Joel's, you know, We Didn't Start the Fire, right? Was that the name of it or something?
We are not choosing that one.
Yes.
No.
This is not a listicle song, but it is a song that is based on another science fiction apocalyptic book, War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells. Not directly, but Bowie had said that, you know, obviously he was a well-read guy. And basically the theme of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, his breakthrough record, The Rise and Fall of, is, you know, the idea that the world is ending. Five years. We've got 5 years. Now, he doesn't fully explain, like, how do we know it's going to be 5 years from now? Everybody's in a panic. That's what this song is describing.
Well, as a student,
the panic that is running through the streets when people find out we only have 5 years to go.
As a student of apocalyptic religions, Greg, I fell into that rabbit hole for a while. You know, they're always forever setting a date. And time, you know, and it never happens.
Right.
So Bowie just picked 5 years.
And Bowie happens to be this alien who drops to Earth, becomes a rock star, and is going to die with his glitter boots on, right?
Yeah.
And he knows it. And the whole album sort of got that as a backdrop. But it's still, it's kind of a bizarro concept. And it's not Bowie's best album, but it is the one that got him noticed. And for that reason alone, it deserves some mention. David Bowie, 5 years, a great anthem, actually, on Sound Opinions. Bowie, 5 years. That's all we got left, Jim. I hope we have a few more than that. I hope so. Right.
Some days I don't feel like I have much more than that.
Right.
I do love Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, and I love the three Berlin albums, and my Bowie fandom kind of drops off there. If you thought right away about The End of the World, Skeeter Davis, as reimagined by Sharon Van Etten, I thought right away about Barry Maguire and Eve of Destruction. What a 60s song, all right? You know, written by P.F. Sloan in the middle of 1965, everybody wants to be that hot new young superstar kid from Hibbing, Minnesota. They all want to be Bob Dylan, right? So this is obviously a Dylan rip. Protest song. It was the high watermark of protest songs. P.F. Sloan, one of those professional songwriters, staples of the Los Angeles music scene, originally wrote it and offered it to the Byrds, who said, you know, we've kind of had enough of Dylan. The Turtles had recorded it, but it was Barry Maguire. Who? Mm-hmm. What else did he ever do, right? Barry Maguire's version that became a hit on the Billboard charts, and that's the one we all know. You know, it is heavy-handed, and it is obviously Dylan-esque in a you know, no apologies rip-off way, but there are some great lines. You know, you're old enough to kill, but not for voting. Draft age is 18 in 65, and the minimum voting age was 21 until finally it was adjusted in 1971. So we will send you to Vietnam to die in a war that is unjust, according to many people at that time and many people now, but you can't even vote for the representatives who would send you. Some of the lines are prescient, you know. At the time, they had what was called the war over water. Even the Jordan River has bodies floating. And if we take that as a metaphor for the continuing turbulence in the Mideast, it still resonates. You know, we got a name drop of the Selma, Alabama, the march on Bloody Sunday. And, you know, a reference, I love this one, a reference to Gemini 4. You know, NASA had this space mission, paving the way, all of it, to eventually man landing on the moon. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. Wow! And here's a line that should be written today. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. Which Sloan said was about the hypocrisy of of way too many people. So, you know, a great backing band on this. Hal Blaine of the Wrecking Crew on drums, and Larry Nechtel on bass guitar. Sloan himself played guitar. What a cool song. Eve of Destruction by Barry LaGuire.
And marches alone can't bring integration when human respect is disintegrating. This whole crazy world is just too frustrating, and you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Don't they know it's the eve of destruction, Greg?
I love the, you know what I liked about that song too, the grittiness of his voice.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a sweet folk singer type of voice, you know.
Well, Dylan had made it okay to not be able to sing.
Exactly.
We are going to turn now to our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. She and Alex Claiborne were wrestling over songs. They both had so many great choices. Sol, you're younger than me and Greg, so the end of the world hopefully is much further away for you.
Oh, yeah.
But what's the song you chose?
So I chose As the World Caves In by Matt Maltese. I like this song a lot because it's definitely not one that you'd want to play at a wedding, but it is a love song. And I just think it's beautiful, and it's very haunting, but in a good way.
All right. Well, who is Matt Maltese, for those who don't know?
Matt Maltese, I honestly don't really know much about him. I know that some of my friends are very big fans of him.
So a great song that just grabs you, mm-hmm. even if you're not a super fan. Let's listen to that.
And as the earth burns to the ground, oh girl, it's you that I lie with. As the atom bomb locks in, oh, it's you I watch TV with. As the world
Matt Maltese, As the World Caves In. Why does it speak to you, Sol?
Like I said, I just think it's really beautiful. It's haunting, and it's like it paints a picture in my head of like a nuke town where everybody's just going through the motions and going through their daily routines, and then all of a sudden, world's about to end, atom bomb's about to drop, and it's like, well, let's just sit here, let's watch TV, let's enjoy each other's time together, and
Oh man!
And here it is, our final night alive as the earth burns to the ground. Mm-hmm. A cheery chorus from
Well, The Last of Us. That was the latest apocalyptic art everybody loved. When we return, we'll share more of our favorite apocalypse songs and hear more from our production staff on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
All good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week we're sharing some of our favorite songs about the end of the world. We're having a lot of fun doing it. It's not all a downer. And now we're going to throw it to our producer, Andrew Gill. Who recorded this ahead of time because he's gallivanting around Ireland on a well-deserved vacation, Greg.
Yeah.
Andrew, what have you got for us?
What's up, guys? I'm going with an album that defined, I feel like, my whole generation in my 20s. The Postal Service, Give Up, from 2005. The song, We Will Become Silhouettes. I mean, what can you say about the Postal Service? It's one of those amazing stories of lightning in a bottle, the one album, and nothing ever again. So it's a group of Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie, which in 2003 released Transatlanticism, a massive album as well. Jimmy Tamborello, also known as Dintel, the producer and electronic artist, and Ginny Lewis, then of Rilo Kiley, now huge artist, just under her own name. And this record combined this indie emo kind of lyricism and pop hooks with the glitchy electronic sounds of like Radiohead and Kid A and other avant-garde electronic artists. Undeniable record. The lyrics of this song, you know, detail hiding in a fallout shelter, basically post-nuclear apocalypse. But, you know, with this real poppy sensibility and a light, buoyant mood. You know, it's funny, I went and looked at Genius to see if there were like references I might have missed or anything. And all the notes on these lyrics, people are really anxious for this to be a metaphor about a relationship. Listening to the whole album, I don't think Ben Gibbard meant this as a metaphor. I don't know. And it makes it just that much darker or bold, I guess, because, yeah, he usually tells you when he's making a metaphor. There's a song, Clark Gable, where he's like, yeah, I'm going to talk about a relationship through the lens of movie making. There's other instances where he kind of tips his hand. This, I think, is just really facing into the abyss of, you know, what could happen to us on Earth. And trying to reconcile your life with that. So here it is, Postal Service, We Will Become Silhouettes.
Where the light bends at the cracks, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, pretending the echoes belong to someone.
Andrew's pick, The Postal Service, We All Become Silhouettes. That was actually vying for one of my picks, too, Jim. Yeah. I think that's a great song.
Well, you know, I have my journalism as literature class read John Hersey's Immortal Hiroshima. And that was, you know, I mean, the flash of the atomic bomb and the heat dropped on those two Japanese cities, Nagasaki and Hiroshima, you know, literally left shadows of people.
Right, right.
And that was all.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, it really is. Once you read that piece, I don't know how you can say, hey, this is a good idea.
One of the greats of journalism.
So Randy Newman, speaking on that theme, his 1972 album Sail Away is basically one satire after another of the absurdity of the world. And one of the key songs on the record is called Political Science, basically sending up American foreign policy. Again, 1972, the height of the Vietnam War. Nixon was escalating the war in Vietnam. You know, Laos and Cambodia were somehow involved in a secret war that America was waging.
Yeah.
Kids were coming home in body bags every week. And I say kids, teenage boys, right? And there's apparently no end in sight to the carnage. And, you know, his whole point here was that we were developing more and more powerful weapons. So why not use them? There are certain factions in America that say, you know, let's pull out the heavy artillery, right?
Yeah.
The Vietnam War seemed to be going nowhere. There was a faction of the American power structure that said we've got to go in there and nuke the whole place, right?
Yeah.
And what's the end game? The end game is that these weapons have become so destructive they could end the world. And Newman was basically sending that whole theory up in flames with this particular song. In his typical laid-back style.
Yeah, yeah.
Randy Newman, Political Science on Sound Opinions.
We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us.
We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're so hateful, so they don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them,
yeah,
says Randy Newman.
You know, the way he can deliver the most horrifying lines with such casual, nonchalant humor. Mm-hmm. Greg, I'm going to go to someone who was not casual or nonchalant in any way. I already have once again probably insulted Bowie fans. Ziggy, the Berlin albums, not much use for the rest of his catalog. I hate all of the Doors catalog. I just do. A couple of good songs, but Jim Morrison was such a bloated poet in every sense of that word, and The End is the most bloated of Doors songs. You know, Father, I want to kill you. It's just, oh my God, oh my God. But Nico covered it and used it as the title for her fourth studio album, produced by John Cale. We just celebrated the vastly underrated catalog and career of Nico, who, you know, is introduced to the world as the Chanteuse, guest starring with the Velvet Underground on their first album. But then Lou Reed and John Cale both worked with her several times over the years that followed. Man, what a catalog it is. Heavy, though. The thing is that The End in the Hands of the Doors, you know, Morrison said that he wrote the song about the end of a relationship. It's a simple goodbye song, he said, right? But then all this other stuff kept getting added and added and added and added, right? And it all just becomes a little comic, over the top. Not in Nico's hands, right? The lyrics are still there, right?
Yeah.
But Nico, with Cale playing behind her, many say this is the birth of goth rock. You know, it is heavy, it is scary, and it is not about a goodbye song to a lover. It is a goodbye song to everything. This is the ultimate anthem of nihilism. You know, this is the end, my only friend. And when Nico says it, you believe it. When Morrison says it, you kind of chuckle. Nico, The End on Sound Opinions.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end. Of everything.
Nico, The End. Wow. Thank you. Good night. We better end it here. No.
Oedipus Rex, right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
No, we can't. We got a great pick from Alex Claiborne. Alex, you know, so many people are still saying, you know, Alex did such a fantastic job helping with the Boy Genius interview. You just like Jim, you know, what do we need you for? I heard that from more than a few people.
Well, that's very flattering. I think it was great to, you know, have both of us on it, and that interview was so much fun. So
it sure was.
You know, and the pick that I'm choosing today is a Phoebe Bridgers song called I Know the End. And I was a little reluctant at first because we had just had this conversation with Phoebe and her bandmates, and I didn't want to come off too much as a stan, but I kind of am. So.
No, and we reviewed the National album, which has two great tracks that she contributes
Correct.
To.
Correct. And this song was the first song that came to mind when I thought of End of the World songs, and I was hard-pressed to find something that I felt more emotionally connected to or felt more applicable to the theme and the context that which were pointing it out, because this song came out in 2020 on her album Punisher, and right in the midst of, you know, the early stages of the global pandemic, where as Jim mentioned, the world felt like it was ending. And I know for a lot of people, myself personally, we had other things going on that just felt like a lot of a big amount of heaviness. And so this song, which was written by Phoebe Bridgers, Christian Lee Hudson, Connor Oberst, and Marshall Vohr, it starts very quiet and is sort of Phoebe wishing to go home. She's on tour. She just wants to, you know, go back home and relax and just have a quiet life, basically. And by the time she gets home, she realizes that things are not what they were or what she had idealized, and that, you know, sort of this feeling of the end of the world was near. And just some of the lyrics in this song are really fantastic, you know, and as Jim and Greg, you were highlighting earlier, that this theme can also be about connection, of people connecting over the end of the world, and her kind of saying, either way, we're not alone. You know, she's referencing aliens, but she's also referencing sort of the other people going through a similar experience. And
I will insert my historical footnote.
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
That learned in sociology class that the biggest window of births in the United States during the baby boom, which was a huge explosion, came during the days of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
More Americans were born 9 months after those 10 days of the world about to end because the Soviets put nukes on Cuba aimed at America. I just have always found that fascinating.
Yeah, it's funny. This song kind of touches on that idea of sort of the absurd or like extreme danger. And like, what do you do in the face of that? How do you react? Do you run away? Do you run towards it? You know, and
do you go to bed?
Yeah. Do you hide under your bed? Like, what does one do? And sort of the idea of her saying, you know, either way, we're not alone. I'll find a new place to be from, a haunted house with a picket fence to float around and ghost my friends. And just like the idea that even in this sort of afterlife, that we can still clown around with our friends and like, you know, have this idea of, you know, yeah, I guess the end is here. The end is here. Sort of a juxtaposition of all of these worrying things with the idea that like, I guess this is what it is. Let me accept it in the moment. Yeah. And, you know, the cacophony of horns kind of coming to a collision. You know, this song was the one she performed on Saturday Night Live that, you know, got people a little upset because she destroyed a guitar at the end, something that many male performers have done numerous times with little to
Hello,
no
Kurt Cobain. Yes,
little to no feedback at all. And so this song, I felt, marked a huge point in Phoebe's career and sort of bringing her more to the forefront. And I think that it fits the theme of sort of apocalypse songs quite well.
I think we all want to disappear sometimes. I think that's what really she's getting at in this song. You know, she's coming back to her a dire situation, right? Just wants to go away for a while.
Yeah.
The end is near. The end is here.
So I gotta go. I know, I know, I know. When the sirens sound, you'll hide under the floor. But I'm not gonna go down with my hometown in a tornado. I'm gonna chase it. I know, I know, I know. I gotta go now. I know, I know, I know.
Phoebe Bridgers, I Know the End, a choice from Phoebe Superstan, Alex Claiborne. When we get back, more apocalyptic songs, and we'll hear from some of our listeners. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting El Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing some of our favorite end-of-the-world songs. Now let's throw it to our Columbia College intern, Lauren Holt. Final show, right, for Lauren? Is that
right? Yeah, Lauren. We love you, Lauren. We wish you huge success. Greg and I have every confidence that one day we'll be working for you.
Aw, thank you.
So remember us fondly.
Oh, gosh, big words. Thank you.
Well, Lauren,
you.
This is no pressure here, but you know, this is going to be your final pick for Sound Opinions for this incarnation. What have you got for us?
Okay, so I chose Bittersweet Symphony by The Verb, and I'll be honest, this is not really about the apocalypse at all, but I'm going to get a little bit metaphorical if I can. It's more about apocalypse of the heart and of the soul, and The Verb knew this, like, 24 years ago, that there is an issue or a problem with, like, the way that we live, and so it's funny, I first heard this song when I was 15 in New York at a dance, like, summer intensive, my first time there, and I thought the song was so cool and sad and, like, really depressing, and it's so odd that I wanted to listen to it every day after dance class, like a guy in my class played it for me, and I thought about this song for this topic because he's, like, singing about how basically the humdrum of life, like, you're making money and then you go to work and you do the same thing over and over again. And our society right now for years has been so focused on production and money and production money and so little about, like, our feeding our soul and being good to ourselves and being good to the people around us. And he's singing, like, really poetically kind of about that and about how he's lost. And then I love that lyric, like, I never prayed, but now I'm on my knees now, or now, and, you know, so he's looking for hope. And I feel like in the apocalypse, like, that's maybe what we would be doing, is we'd be trying to find some hope, or we'd be doing anything we could to, like, get out of this kind of disastrous situation. And then I'm just kind of obsessed with the song. I just think it's beautiful and sad. And I don't know why I love depressing music.
No, well, it's you know, and
it is a great song.
And that string sample that The Verb, you remember the story, Greg, right?
Right.
It was Andrew Lug Oldham did the instrumental symphonic version of Stone Songs.
Yeah.
And what, I mean, that's one of the all-time great samples in the history of sampling.
Absolutely.
Here is The Verb, Bittersweet Symphony. Good pick from Lauren Holt. Like I said, Greg, we'd be lucky to wind up working for her someday.
No kidding.
Thank
when
you.
She runs
Thank
the
you.
World, take pity on us.
Lauren's rundown of that song was as poetic as the song itself.
Absolutely. So,
fantastic stuff. I love that song, too. Very good. Thanks, Lauren. We're going to celebrate your departure. We're going to play Party at Ground Zero, because we have to have a party. If it's only virtual, you know, that's good, too. Fishbone, Party at Ground Zero, one of my favorite bands of the 80s. I think they were hugely underrated band.
Yeah.
great live performers. This was one of probably their biggest hit. The video always intrigued me. At the time, this is the MTV, height of MTV era. And there was not a high level of intelligence in most of the videos, but this one in particular always grabbed me. It was basically a tribute to Edgar Allan Poe's The Mask of the Red Death, mm-hmm. which is one of his great stories. There's a recluse who thinks he can hide from the plague, and he holds up in a castle and decides to throw a little masquerade ball for some of his friends who are mm-hmm. enduring the pandemic. Well, who lo and behold, the mask disguises one of the devil's henchmen who shows up and basically infects everybody at the party.
You can't hide. You can't hide.
No. You're all gonna die. So the party at Ground Zero was staged here in this Poe short story. And essentially, the Fishbone Song is a modern day interpretation of that in many ways. The idea that a nuclear explosion, that's what's going to happen when the devil removes his mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
Party at Ground Zero from Fishbone and Sound Opinion. The movie turns into a apocalyptic song by Fishbone. The world will turn to flowing pink vapor stew.
There's worse ways to go out than dancing to a party at Ground Zero, if the bombs have been launched. Okay, third insult of this show, following Bowie and Morrison. I'm not the biggest Madonna fan in the world. I like when Madonna really got experimental / psychedelic with her productions. And the rest of the time, I think she was taking sounds from the legit dance underground and just polishing them up for the mainstream. This is one of those weird tracks, okay? 4 minutes, the best song, the only good song, I'd say, on 2008's Hard Candy. Mm. This is the song, Greg, where Madonna became the artist, the solo artist, with the most top 10 singles of all time. The one where she passed Elvis Presley.
Okay, wow, that's a lot of, that's a lot of singles.
Yeah, but it's a strange, strange song that includes both Justin Timberlake and producer Timbaland. It is a Timbaland song through and through. We've got those Bhangra beats. We've got the weird mix of instrumentation. There's foghorn, and there's brass, and there's cowbells. What's going on? And Madonna saying, time is wasting, right? Never mind Bowie, 5 years. We've got 4 minutes. 4 minutes to save the world and or accept what's coming. And we better do with those 4 minutes the best we can.
Bowie gave us 5 years. She's given us 4 minutes.
Four minutes. Probably getting less done in that amount of time.
Right.
So Madonna, let's think of it as a Timbaland song that Madonna and Justin Timberlake add some vocals to. 4 minutes.
Come on.
It's by Madonna, featuring Justin Timberlake and Timbaland. Remember that song?
No, I don't. I just thought that record was so bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It's not on her best of.
Quite a bit of Madonna I did like.
Yeah.
That was not one of the... I thought that was a record was a disaster, so thank you for... thank you for reminding me of that. I'd completely forgotten about it. I actually did like... she did a great album, Ray of Light, I thought was her best record, working with some of the guys who were in the electronic music scene, William Orbit specifically.
Yeah. I thought that was really good. I thought it was better when Cher did it. But.
Well, I like that album a lot. But, talking about this era, you know, the Madonna era, when she started coming up, you started seeing a lot of songs appearing, and then it became a virtual cottage industry in the 90s of, you know, Y2K mania. People scared about what was going to happen when we flipped the calendar to the new millennium, right?
Remember what happened?
Nothing happened. It was all a media, you know, conspiracy to get us worried about nothing. But, you know, a lot of artists, you know, had fun with it. It seemed to be in particularly huge in the hip-hop sphere. But I go back to, like, something like, you know, Prince's 1999, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was already starting to bubble in the 80s. Method Man, who was, you know, talk about cottage industries, Wu-Tang Clan, with all their spin-off projects, solo records, doing so well, in addition to the group itself becoming a huge hit in the 90s. They dominated the charts, and Method Man was no exception. His second solo release, Tykel 2000, released in 1998, basically a concept record, talking about the end of the world. You know, that's what it's all about. The song I'm going to play, Judgment Day, it has a snippet of a really bad end of the world movie that was made, you know, another one of those sort of Y2K themed movies, Cyborg, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, anything with Jean-Claude Van Damme is bad.
Get this. Jean-Claude Van Damme's name in that movie is Gibson Rickenbacker. So Method Man is quoting the movie. There's a snippet from the movie that sets up this song, Judgment Day. But anyway, you get the idea. You know, end of the world. I think this is the last song on the record. Impending Doom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A whole album of songs about Y2K mania. Method Man, Judgment Day, from 1998.
Step into millennium. The name of this one is Judgment Day. Warriors can't come out and play. Don't blame me, blame
that is Method Man contributing to our end of the world theme with Judgment Day.
Well, I'm going to conclude the apocalyptic songs list show, Greg, with the only voice. The voice that, you know, basically every song he ever sang is resonant of The End is Coming. Mr. Johnny Cash. A very different and more serious take on Judgment Day. The Man Comes Around is one of only a mere handful of songs that Johnny Cash wrote for the American Dream 4 collection. 2002, one of the series of albums he made with Rick Rubin, which had great moments, but then also a lot of filler. Mm-hmm. By the fourth, I think it was running out of steam, except for this song. And it gave that collection its title. You know, Johnny Cash begins with a few lines from Revelation. The four beasts saying, come and see, and behold, a white horse. What happens on Judgment Day? There's a man going around taking names. He decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated the same when the man comes around. Wow. Wow. Johnny was ready, you know, from his 20s, I think, to meet his maker someday.
Yeah, no
kidding. The man in black was often thinking about this. But what a life. What a catalog. What a career. Those American recordings albums are not perfect, but we can easily cull a dozen great tracks from them. Here's one of the best. Johnny Cash with The Man Comes Around.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
The man comes around.
Oh, that's a great song.
There'll be a golden ladder reaching down, Greg, and only some people get to climb it. our producers do, but not necessarily us. And that wraps up our favorite end of the world songs, and we want to hear from you. Leave us a voice message on soundopinions.org with your thoughts, like these listeners did.
New messages.
Okay, Greg and Jim, I have the buried treasure of them all for you today. This is Sally Grayson calling from Winzhausen, Germany. And Xixa, which is a band from Tucson, Arizona, released a new record, and it is so good. It is so good. And what I love about this band is that they have this magical way of combining light and dark, combining joy and sorrow, mixed in with humor and surprise. For instance, the song called May They Call Us Home starts off with this dark, brooding atmosphere and big drums, and you imagine it's just gonna stay this dark song, and all of a sudden these light major chord spaghetti western guitars come in. Thank you for the wonderful show.
Hey, Sound Opinions. It's Tim from Chicago. A buried treasure band I've been just totally obsessed with lately is Reckling. They just put out a new EP, Human Nature, and the track Spitter is so good. Thanks. Love the show.
Hi, my name is Eve. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I've been a longtime listener to Sound Opinions via Spotify for, I think, about 4 or 5 years now. I feel like the basis and like foundation of my music knowledge is from this podcast, which I'm proud to say, because I love this podcast and I try to recommend it to as many people as I can. But I don't even know if you guys listen to these kind of things anymore when picking out buried treasures for those episodes, but I thought I might as well give it a shot because I really loved this song. It's from a band coming out of Nashville called Cam Cool, and it's these two brothers, twin brothers, who formed this band, and they just released a new song called Everybody Texts and Drives. I really love the vocals on it. I like the meaning behind it too, about when you're just feeling kind of stuck in your place in life and trying to move forward and not really knowing how, but also not feeling alone in that feeling.
My head's up in the
us can relate to that, especially after, I mean, we're still in a pandemic, but you know, just in the past few years, I feel like it's kind of a universal feeling at this point, if it wasn't, you know, before, you know, pre-pandemic time period. I don't even know if you guys will ever listen to this, but if you don't, it's still a good song anyway.
No more messages.
Thank you to our listeners for sharing their opinions with us. Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we want to spotlight a great archival record label, Numero Group, based in Chicago. It's their 20th anniversary. They've done some amazing work over the years, resurrecting lost albums, lost artists from many decades of music. And I can't say enough about what they've done in sort of recontextualizing our understanding of some of these labels and these artists who really were unsung in their time. Well, we're going to give them their
We're going to sing about
in
them.
This one. Yes, absolutely. And do not forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Farewell to our Columbia College intern, Lauren Holt, and our social media consultant, Estelle Cadio.